the Messiah was doing. He sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing to this reading and hearing of your word. Open our minds and our hearts. Help us hear what you have to say to us and respond by living in faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin the message by reading a verse from the book of Revelation. At the opening of Revelation, Jesus sends messages to seven churches that are going through a lot and need encouragement and sometimes need a little push. And so this one is the message Jesus sends to the persecuted Christians of the church in the Asian city of Pergamum. That message ends this way: "To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." A new name. God called a man, Abram, to leave the country that he knew, the only land that he knew, and set out to a new and strange land where he would become the father of God's chosen people. And when God called him, he renamed him Abraham. Jacob, God renamed Israel. Centuries later, Andrew brought his impulsive, boisterous fisherman brother to meet Jesus because he thought Jesus might meet the Messiah. Jesus took one look at him and said, "Simon, son of John, you are to be called Cephas, Peter," a new name. When the floodwaters receded, Noah and his passengers disembarked on Mount Ararat. When Moses dealt with a different ark, not a boat, but a box inlaid with gold carrying some of that manna and the law written, engraved in stone tablets, Moses had to climb to the top of Mount Sinai to meet God and be with him. Atop Mount Carmel, in the power of God, Elijah defeated the prophets of the false god Baal. Psalm 148:9 invites mountains and hills to join all of creation in singing praise to God. And Isaiah 55:12 declares that the mountains and hills accepted the invitation. "The mountains and the hills burst before you shall burst into song." Atop a mountain, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured before them, clothed in dazzling heavenly splendor. And where did Jesus win the ultimate victory? Defeating death, covering our sins, and offering himself as the once and for all time sacrifice for humanity. On a hill far away, on the old rugged cross. Time and time again, God's story is told on hills and mountains. And that's what's happening here. God's story is being told. We will be a church for Chapel Hill, for everyone in Chapel Hill. Hillside Church is here to tell God's story, share God's love, and help the people of our town see God at work in their lives. That's why we're here. The late Senator Jesse Helms once derided our town. He said, "Why build another zoo in North Carolina? Why not just put a fence around Chapel Hill? We know better." What Senator Helms mocked, we love. We know Chapel Hill and Carrboro are exciting places filled with interesting, beautiful people. We thank God for planting us here, for giving us the privilege of being His storytellers here. Our arms and our hearts and our doors are open to our community. Politicians and bigots today use inflammatory language just like Jesse Helms did. They sneer as they talk about the liberals in Chapel Hill. These so-called liberals are people Jesus loved. He died for everyone in Carrboro and Chapel Hill and all the people living in the Triangle. He wants us with Him. God loves us so much, He wants us with Him for eternity. Hillside Church is a place where people can come to be loved and introduced to the God who loves them. A new name. Hillside is the right name for us right now. We've alluded to the numerous times the story of God is told on hills and mountains. We've talked about our town's name and what our town means. Whatever anyone else has to say about our town, we know the people here. Our neighbors and friends are God's beloved children. We need God. We as a church are here to point the way to God. What about our church campus, our grounds? Our church building itself, a setting in which we extend godly hospitality, sits on a small hill. Now, if you think the slight incline out there is insignificant, I invite you to stand in that parking lot from late November to early March on a blustery day. The wind whips up across that grassy hill and chills to the bone. In this place, may the Spirit of God, the wind of God, blow so fiercely it knocks our socks off, but also fills us that we may soar on eagle's wings. In our people, in this place, from this hillside, God bellows forth the song of salvation, the blessing of life lived in Christ, free to all who would receive it. John the Baptist had given his life to speak God's word into the world's pain, and for his efforts, the world tried to swallow him whole. The wicked King Herod had imprisoned John when John publicly confronted the king for his immoral marriage. In isolation, only hearing reports of what was going on outside whenever his disciples were allowed to visit, John felt lonely. John wondered. He was cut off. I mean, Jesus said, there's no one higher than him in faith. No one has exceeded him in righteousness. And here he was in prison, and he was locked in doubt. Matthew writes, when John heard what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said, are you the one to come? Hearing about Jesus, he had to ask. His question is a reaction to what the Messiah was doing, God in action. That same impulse will guide us at Hillside. In the early 1990s, there was a popular new Bible study that churches across the country were using called Experiencing God. And if you were involved in a church at that time, you remember it. I've been through it probably more than once. But really, Experiencing God is quite simple. It just asks a couple questions. Where do we see that God is already at work in the world? Look around and see where God is already at work in the world. And then once you see where God is already at work in the world, then we have to ask, will we join? Will we join in where God's at work? Having heard of Jesus' actions, John, once so confident but now chained in prisons of doubt, asks, are you the one? We have something that John didn't have, a perspective, the post-crucifixion, post-resurrection perspective. We know the baby in the manger that we celebrate at this time of year. We know the Jesus who was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism becomes the Savior. So the question we have to ask today is, are we living what we know? As a community committed to following and worshiping the crucified, resurrected Lord, are we showing him to the world? John asked, are you the one? We have to ask, will we show the world that we know Jesus is the one? Jesus responds to John's disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. What do we hear and see? All around us in our town are people who are confused, lost, lonely, and many are poor. When we speak and act, when we open our doors to welcome the world in, do those who come receive good news? The story John felt he was missing, locked in that prison cell, that story plays itself out every day here, in this space, on these grounds, and in this community. John was trying with his question to respond to what he thought might be God at work. Jesus honored John's posture by inviting him to hear the story of the healing of the world that comes whenever Jesus is present. If we share what we know of Jesus, is it good news to our town, especially the poor and the downtrodden? We could describe the past 2 years in our church as surprising. It wasn't what I planned 2 years ago. It's not how I foresaw these years going. We could say it was tumultuous. We may feel storm-tossed at times. I know I did. At times, the seemingly endless blows from unexpected places pounded and exhausted us. But God has raised us to our feet. God has set a new vision before us, calling us back to the work He has always had for this church. We are here to help people become disciples of Jesus. We are here to help people become passionately devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's always been this church's calling, and God has led us right back to that mission. God has breathed new life into our church. The next chapter in our story is the step forward we take. John the Baptist played his role. He died in Herod's prison. He now awaits resurrection. The disciples, after meeting with Christ, the risen Christ, they played their roles. They went throughout Jerusalem saying, Jesus is the Messiah. In Him, our sins are forgiven, and we have new life, eternal life. And they spread that message throughout the city of David, throughout Jerusalem, but they didn't stop there. They went into the surrounding country of Judea, and then the next one over, Samaria. And a lot of people in those days in Jerusalem didn't like the people in Samaria, but the disciples went there, baptizing, making disciples, establishing churches, and they didn't stop there. They went throughout the world, raising up churches, spreading the gospel. Now it's Hillside's turn. Now it's Hillside's time. We share the hope of eternal life in Christ with all who come to us. And we equip all who go out from us, training them in the Word of God and the knowledge of the Spirit of God, that they might go in Jesus' name wherever in the world God leads them. Jesus gathered disciples around the table to offer bread and wine. The bread was to remind them, to remind us of Him. Take and eat, He said. This is My body broken for you. John's suffering at Herod's hands was a preview of the sorrow of Jesus, beaten and crucified for us. We eat the bread, His body. We drink the cup, His blood, the blood of the new covenant. In this act, we remember that we're united in Christ. Look around this church family. Look at how diverse we are. People from so many different places with different perspectives, different life stories. I mean, it's a beautiful image. I wish you could see what I could see looking out at you. We're so different. And our differences don't divide us. We celebrate them. Because we come together in Christ. In Christ we are one. In His blood our sins are forgiven and we have eternal life. There are a couple people here in this room that were in this church in the 1960s. I think that's as far back as we go, the 1960s. You old-timers, you are invited to this table, to the bread and cup, and to this new thing the Spirit of God is doing. You are a part of Hillside Church and our future. Many of you were here when Carrboro Baptist Church made the decision to move across town, move across that dreaded line into Chapel Hill, and become Hillsong Church. And you were part of all of that, including the building of this building, the first Sunday here. Still got the spirit of Carrboro Baptist in us. The spirit of these last 20 years of Hillsong Church, Hillsong Church, will always be in us. And now we're Hillside. Across the decades, we're linked with those who have come before us and those who will come after in our gratitude to God, our love for Him, and our love for each other. You who are part of the move, you're invited to this table, to this new thing God is doing, this Hillside adventure. And there are some here who've only been with us a few months, just started coming to this church family. This Sunday might even be your first day here. You're invited. You're invited to the bread and the cup, and after that, to live life with us, Hillside Church. We want you part of us. Jesus told the messengers from John to go back and tell him what they had heard and seen. Together as a church, we celebrate. This is a day of celebration. We celebrate the salvation, the forgiveness, and the new life we have in Christ. And then we go out into our little corner of the world, our town, and tell what God has done and is doing in Jesus. And we invite people to come in and be part of it. Amen.